What if the deepest shadows of hell were not beneath us, but around us, woven subtly into the fabric of our daily lives? Welcome back to the Good Lion Podcast. Today, we continue our exploration with The Hell Within, unmasking the roots of sin and suffering. As we continue this series of talks on sin and hell, originally delivered by Pastor Aaron Salvato at the Good Lion School of Discipleship, we will explore the daunting idea that hell can manifest here and now through our actions and inactions. How do personal sins contribute not only to our individual downfalls, but also to societal injustices that echo the horrors of hell? Join us as we unpack these complex themes, challenging ourselves to recognize and uproot the sin within our own lives. And stay tuned, as in our next episode, we will address questions from our listeners, shedding further light on this dark yet vital topic. If you would like to submit a follow-up question, you can do so by emailing us at goodlionnetwork@gmail.com. Now, let us enter back into this fascinating discussion on eternal darkness, mercy, and grace. Once again, you're listening to the Good Lion Podcast. Here's Aaron with today's episode.
There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. If you don't want to be a part of the kingdom of light, you don't have to, but there's only one alternative. We need to understand God has a plan for a perfect world, and yet He loves us enough to give us all a choice. If we refuse, there's only one other option. God doesn't intend to let any sin into this new world, and He does this to protect you and to protect me. Yes, He allowed sin into this current world, and that's a whole nother philosophical problem of evil conversation that we might have to do on another episode. I admit that the very notion that God let evil into this current world, that can be a challenging one even for me, and I've had to wrestle with it through the years. But when it comes to the next world, we know that at the end of this chapter of our story, which for most humans is actually a very short chapter, 70 to 90 years of your life is nothing. It's a blip when you consider that we have eternity ahead of us. And in that eternal existence, He will not let sin into His new world. He is going to quarantine us, cut us off from any access to wickedness, sin, death, and hell. This current world is in tension. Both the kingdoms of light and darkness are present in this world. The kingdom of heaven is already, but not yet. It's here. We see it. We see it when the church gathers, when we worship God together, when we study scripture, when we love one another, when we serve one another, when we serve the lost, when we preach the gospel, when we help make positive changes in our communities. The kingdom of light is breaking into this world, but the kingdom of darkness is also active. This current world groans. The scripture says it groans for restoration and renewal and redemption. This current world is burning. Is it God's fault? No. No. He is rescuing us and taking us to a place that is not burning. And if you choose to go with Him, you will be saved. If you're out freezing in the cold and someone opens a door to a warm house, if you refuse to go in, whose fault is it that you're still cold? It's your own. It's no one but your own. And I say that not with judgment, because I know how many people out there, they don't realize how cold they are. They don't realize the hell that they're living in. They're blind to it. That's why we need people to share the gospel. That's why we need people to be willing to bend over backwards, to love the lost, to see lost people as loved people, people that Jesus was willing to die for. I love this quote from author and pastor Joshua Ryan Butler. He says, Jesus's question for us is not, are you good enough to get into my city? His question is rather, will you let me heal you? God wants to forgive. As C.S. Lewis says, hell is not a dungeon locked from the outside. It's a closet locked from the inside if we refuse to be healed. Josh O'Ryan Butler has a fantastic book called The Skeletons in God's Closet. If you're listening to this podcast, I would highly recommend you go read that book. It was very instrumental for me in my younger years. In his book, he gives this really powerful illustration. I'll read the passage from his book now. Butler says this, "The power of hell is alive and well in our world. My own realization of this began with things more obvious, things most of us would agree look like hell on earth today, like children getting enslaved and raped so that others can make money." Butler goes on, "During my junior year in university, I had the opportunity to work on the borders of Burma and Thailand with an indigenous organization fighting the trafficking of their community's children into the sex trade. In some of their villages, as many as 90% of girls older than 10 had been trafficked into the cities. This was devastating. Slave traders preyed on poor families in desperate circumstances. Families were often deceived, told that their daughters would have good jobs in restaurants or in small businesses in the city. At first, the girls were excited to leave the small town life for the glamour of the big city. The parents were given a loan that their daughter would pay off easily at her new job. Once in the city, however, it was too late. By the time the girls had realized where they were locked in small rooms, held against their will, and forced to see as many as 15 to 30 clients a day. It was heart-crushing to meet some of these girls who had been rescued and imagine what they had been through. The horror of the trauma inflicted upon them still haunts me today, and they were but a few survivors affected by a much bigger problem. The United Nations estimates nearly 2 million children are enslaved in the sex trade today. The power of hell is indeed alive and well in our world." Trees and Roots. Butler goes on to write, "At that point in my life, I still had a hard time with the doctrine of hell. I was a new Christian, and there were still parts of the faith I was still trying to make sense of. But the seed of a realization was growing inside me. There are some things I want out of God's world forever. I would soon find out that there are some things God wants out of his world forever too. Reading through the Gospels one day, I came across Jesus talking about the power of hell in relation to lust. Here's what Jesus had to say. 'You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell.' Suddenly, I had a problem. Like me," Butler writes, "Jesus wants to get rid of sex trafficking, only he takes it a lot more seriously than I do. I want to get rid of sex trafficking, but Jesus wants to get rid of lust. I want to prune back the wicked tree. He wants to dig out the root. And that wicked root is in me. I may not be a sex trafficker or a greedy pimp, but I have lust. I can be one lusty animal. Jesus says, if you even look lustfully at one of God's daughters, demeaningly commodifying her as an object for your own self-centered gratification, then the power of hell has its roots in you. And when God arrives to establish his kingdom, you are in danger of being cast outside the kingdom with it. I was no longer simply a part of the solution, I was a part of the problem. The enemy was no longer simply out there, but in here. We have met the enemy, and he is us. There is a wicked tree that has grown to monstrous proportions in our world, damaging and destroying the lives of tens of millions of young girls beneath its dark and disastrous shade. And the root of that wicked tree lives in me." Okay, I'm back. Aaron here. Man, such a good passage. Again, get the book if you haven't read it. It is so good, so helpful. I think everything he's saying, it so lines up with what Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount. Again, Jesus, what does he say? You've heard it said, do not murder. But if you hate someone, you have killed them. You have murdered them in your heart. Go back to the idea of what we talked about in this series of the seven deadly sins. Pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. These evils are some of the deadly roots that grow into all sorts of evil in our world. Think about ways that you've seen modern manifestations of things like racism. What is behind that? If you look at the roots, you're going to see things like prejudice, fear, greed, and pride. When we look at wars destroying villages and homes and people, what is the root of those wars? It's hatred. It's pride. Lust for power. It's unforgiveness. Hell is the full force of sin, and sin is the path that leads to hell. When we allow these hellish roots to take place in our life, through our sins, through these root sinful perspectives, we grow hell into our world. This is why it's so important that we take the sinful roots in our life to Jesus and say, Lord, pull this tree out by the roots. This is why the Christian life, whether you're a new Christian or whether you're a pastor who's been in ministry for most of your life, and I'm talking to myself right now, this is why the process of discipleship should be a continuous gardening journey where we are continually going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, search the garden of my heart. And if you find anything growing in here that is not good, don't just trim it, yank out the roots. We have to be honest about what sin is and what it is capable of. The ramifications of our sin and what our sin can actually grow into. Remember what scripture says. Remember what Brian and I talked about on our previous episode. The scripture says our desires flirt with us, entice us, and then they engage with us. And through that engaging, our desire conceives sin within us. And then when that sin has fully grown, what happens? That sin grows like a baby and becomes death. Through sin, we give birth to our own death. Think of it. We think of a little lust as just a little lust. But the reality is it has so much potential to grow into an actual crippling pornography addiction or into a marriage and family shattering adultery. We don't like to think of it that way. We think when it comes to lust, I can handle it. It's just a little bit of lust to take the edge off. And yet that root absolutely has the potential to grow into something that can ruin our entire lives. We don't like to think of it, but our anger could very well grow into murder. And you might think, oh, that's kind of far-fetched, but there is story after story of people who ended up killing someone, and when they studied that person, they didn't find out that they were some depraved serial killer plotting out their next victim. Instead, they were an average person who kept giving in to the roots of bitterness and pride and anger and letting it control them and take them over to the point where they ended someone else's life. And I would say to any of you listening, even if your anger never leads to you actually murdering someone, your anger can lead to the murder of your family's peace, the destruction of your family through verbal abuse, through pride and neglect. It is horrifying to me to think of how many families lie shattered and broken, families that had so much potential to be beautiful and life-giving and completely full of joy, but because of anger, these families are now broken. Our anger has the potential to kill. We tend to see our sin as harmless. We think of sin like a little puppy. We think of it as something that is annoying, but something that can be shaken off, something that merely misbehaves once in a while. We need to see it as it really is, not as a puppy, but like a dog with rabies, a rabid wolf looking for its next meal. Think of how small the very first sin was in the garden. It was the eating of a fruit. We don't know what fruit it was. It could have been an apple. It could have been an orange. It could have been a plum. It could have been a watermelon. We have no idea. But it was the simple eating of that fruit that opened Pandora's box and ushered in destruction and chaos into the entire world. Who are we to think that our own small acts of disobedience aren't just as destructive? These sins have the potential to invite demonic presence into our families. They have the potential to ruin our lives, and it's only by the grace of God that they haven't yet. I am preaching to the choir because, just like you listening, I am a sinner just like you. And I'll be the first to say we can become so comfortable with our own small compromises and sins. We think, I'm not actually killing anyone. I'm not really stealing anything. I'm not actually cheating on someone. And because of this perspective, we put up with our small scale bits of gossip, lying, lust, anger, and small scale addictions. When it comes to the really big sins, like we know that those will kill us and destroy us. Like we know that if we go and murder someone, that's gonna be a life-ending, life-altering decision. We know that if you just wake up in the morning and think, should I cheat on my spouse? You know in your heart that that is going to be something that changes the trajectory of your life and family forever. No one just wakes up never having done drugs in their life and thinking, I'm gonna do meth today. Nobody. The big sins we know will kill us and destroy us, but it's the little ones that we think won't actually do much. We forget that Satan is a liar, a thief, and a destroyer. It's literally what he's all about. And just as I'm sure Satan gets a thrill from killing somebody or destroying a life in a big, dramatic way, rest assured the enemy is completely content and happy to slowly kill us in small, boring, mundane ways over time. Private, small-scale ways that don't make a ripple in our day-to-day. The enemy doesn't care how he kills us, he just wants us dead. Let me say that again. The enemy doesn't care how he kills us. He just wants us dead. Think about that. John 8:44 says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Good Lion Podcast. As we close today's discussion on the complex interplay of sin, suffering, and the concept of hell in our lives, let us reflect on a scripture that brings hope amidst these profound challenges. From the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 20, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. In the shadows of our failings, grace shines brightest. This divine grace does not merely cover our sins. It transforms our very nature and renews our spirit. As we grapple with the realities of hell on earth manifested through our actions and the systemic evils around us, let us also embrace the abundant grace that God offers. This grace empowers us to overcome the darkness within and to catalyze change in the world around us. May this knowledge comfort and challenge you as you move through your week. Carry with you the conviction that no depth of sin is too deep for the reach of God's grace, and no night is too dark for the dawn of His redemption. This podcast is a production of Good Lion Ministries, a ministry devoted to helping Christians practice the way of Jesus and fall more deeply in love with a God who is not safe, but is very good. For more resources, visit us at goodlion.org. Our ministry is made possible through the generous support of our donors. To help support our work, please visit goodlion.org/support. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and may your journey be marked by the light of understanding and the warmth of God's unfailing love.